So today we're talking about the future of education. Our guest is Teresa Forbes. She's the founding director of Shaping Learning, a company that supports the specific needs of education-based organizations around the world. But we also have Stefan Roddick, Alice Smith's secondary campus vice principal with responsibility for community and enrichment. Let's get into this episode right now. Welcome to Professional Learning, the podcast that's all about sparking courageous exploration. Each week, we'll be diving into a range of topics to prepare and embed our Book of Dreams work. We'll be exploring the skills and strategies in order to implement these ideas. So good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever people are in the world that are listening to this right now. Teresa, how are you today?
I'm very good, thank you.
And tell us where you're coming from in the world.
I'm coming from Oman.
Fantastic. And how is Oman looking today? Is the weather good?
It's a beautiful day. It's lovely and cool. It's our winter here, which is about 27 degrees, so all good.
Good, good, good. And Stefan, where are you coming from?
Sunny Seri Kembangan on the outskirts of Kuala Lumpur.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you for that. Now, Teresa, I'm dying to find out a little bit more about you. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Thanks very much, Simon. Yes, happy to share. I've been working in education now for over 30 years, which really surprises me. Time has flown by. And most of that time has actually been working internationally. So I began teaching in the UK in state education and then went to Indonesia and to the Netherlands, to Oman, and also had this wonderful opportunity to work more with curriculum organisations. So I've been fortunate to work for the International Primary Curriculum, the government in England on the revision of the National Curriculum, the Primary Curriculum, and also the International Baccalaureate. And just 10 years ago now, after that wonderful departure from great organisation IB, I wondered what was next. So I set up Shaping Learning some 10 years ago now and have worked with amazing people and incredible projects.
Well, I'm dying to find out more about this. So I'm really interested to hear your conversation here with Stefan today. But before we kick that off, I'm just dying to know, actually, you mentioned about state education in the UK, and then you mentioned about these different countries all around the world. That's very much chalk and cheese, surely. Tell me about some of the similarities that you see in the world of education between state-based education in the UK and some of these other countries, which may appear to be very different on the surface, but I'd love to know what some of the similarities are with the children.
Yeah, I think the similarities with the children and the staff, I'd say, there are many, many parallels. I think one of the most amazing things that you can equate to all systems and all structures is if you have a confident school and confident leadership, you're going to have amazing, thriving students. And I think that's the thing that combines everybody, you know, whether you're working in a state school. I've worked in amazing state schools in the UK and in other countries in state systems. And I've also worked in wonderful international schools. So the parallel is, you know, have confidence and you'll have thriving schools and thriving students. So innovation happens everywhere.
I love that, Teresa. I really do. Stefan, dying to know from you why you were keen on Teresa being on this podcast recording today.
Well, it's going to be great because the educators that we've got across both campuses are really embarking upon a new journey in the future of Alice Smith. And it's really about co-designing what we call our Book of Dreams. It's about reimagining really what the world of education looks like for tomorrow for us. And it's really quite inspiring to speak to someone like yourself because it's helping us to write our new chapter. So, Teresa, what excites you about the future of education?
Well, what a wonderful question to begin with. I think that education is just so exciting. I think I went into education over 30 years ago, as I mentioned. And I believe that it's one of the most exciting, dynamic professions to be in. And I've always said that you can have a job in teaching, but you can have a career in education. And it really is endless in terms of the possibilities. So education really is a dynamic and exciting place to be and always has been and always hopefully will be. So what excites me the most, I think, are the endless possibilities that lie ahead and that exist and have always existed. The courage and the agency of staff and school leaders and school coalitions as well. I think that at the moment, there are some really wonderful practices happening in innovation around the world in both state and in international education. And it's coming from the courage and the agency that teachers have and coalitions of schools coming together who want to change things, want to make things better and see that through a really ethical lens. And I think lastly, one point I think I really am excited by is the current groundswell around rethinking assessment using technology enablement in particular, but really thinking about what we value is what we should be assessing.
Oh, thank you. I couldn't agree more. Are you able to provide some examples of the innovation that you've seen or any particular examples that pop out to you?
Yes, I've been working with a number of schools and organisations recently who have been developing their own post-16 diplomas. And that's just incredible kind of in terms of courage and bravery. Working with national systems to have things accredited, but also working with international bodies to achieve accreditation. So one organisation I work for as a volunteer is Amala, which is a refugee charity. We've recently created a diploma which has been rolled out in Jordan, Kenya, in Greece and other places. And that's just been accredited by two international bodies, Council of International Schools and NIAS. So that's sort of work is really pioneering and really groundbreaking, to say that there are reasons to look at other options other than the standard awarding bodies that exist.
That's wonderful. That's some impact that you're having there, I've got to say.
It certainly feels good and it certainly feels purposeful.
Yeah, wonderful. What are some of the current trends and challenges in education that you believe will significantly impact the future landscape?
There are so many things happening, I think, in the world of education, and I try to sort of narrow this question down a little bit. I think we've gone through phases where education's been child-centred, it's been learning-centred. There's a current thinking now about making learning world-centred, so we're really thinking about the planet and thinking about global issues. I think my perspective on this is that education needs to be all of those things. It needs to take and respect all stakeholders in the game. Sometimes I think the people that get left and as the focus are teachers. The antidote to child-centred is sometimes we don't consider the well-being of our teachers and our staff. So I think one of the future challenges is how do we maintain a view on all of those things without overwhelming ourselves with the curriculum and with the curriculum developments? I think following on from that and linked to it is the excitement and the challenge around technology enablement. I think in particular aspects of generative AI, which sometimes can be more fearful. I think we need to look at it as something that will help to give rise to really discerning students, students who are discerning consumers of information. So generative AI is an amazingly helpful tool. I think students need to be able to look at that information and be discerning about whether they think it's the right thing they want to present. And in the same way, adaptive technologies have an incredible role to play, I think, in the future of assessment and evaluation or evidencing learning, as we may want to call it.
Can I just pick up on that last one? What do we mean by adaptive technologies for assessment? What might that look like?
Using artificial intelligence, I think there are many tools now emerging that are taking account of data inputs from students that might then help to evaluate the student in certain areas of, say, well-being or areas of cognitive development, where those data points are actually giving quite instant feedback to the student. Lots of the research we read about what helps students to learn more effectively comes from the notion of feedback and why feedback's important. And quite an analog approach that we've all probably been through in our own careers means that we haven't had access to suitable technology that's allowing that feedback to happen more quickly, more timely, so that students can move on in the steps of their learning.
And in what other ways do you think educators can adapt new teaching methodologies and maybe even more technologies to enhance the learning experience for students?
I think that the role of educators is changing, but I think it's adapting and it has always changed and always had to evolve with the arrival of new technologies or new pedagogies. And I sort of put pedagogies over technology, personally. I think you've got to understand what kind of pedagogies you're trying to promote. So the technology should be an enablement of a pedagogy rather than the other way around. And I think that's where we need to be really mindful of how we adapt to it. Setting a course and a purpose around pedagogical thinking and curriculum design will then lead to the question, what technologies can help enable us to do that?
Do you have like an example that we can listen to about how that looks?
Yeah, I think so. I've recently been involved with a project where we've looked at how do we get students to be more reflexive as a pedagogy. And there are some amazing platforms and tools out there. I could name a few. There's CG Scholar, Peer Scholar, where students are actually contributing and reflecting on their own work and the work of others. And that kind of reflection is being fed into a sort of a platform where you're getting multiple triangulation points and data points that allow the students to see how well they're doing, how reflective they can be, what did other people think of their work, and actually establishing them in some sort of evaluation. That's more effective than just the teacher giving feedback. It's becoming, it's peer, it's self-assessed. It could be even experts from industry commenting on student work and then collecting those data points to look at the efficacy of learning.
Thank you. And with the world becoming a more interconnected space now, are there specific skills or competencies that would become increasingly more important, do you think, for students in that globalized context?
Yeah, I think this is a massive, massive question, a massive issue. I could probably spend a day talking about this with you easily or longer. If you reflect upon the notion that the world is becoming more international, more globalized, I would say that was the same 30 years ago when I began. I sort of left the UK after 2 years of teaching and went to Indonesia. And I think I can safely say that the world was becoming such an interconnected place. We were looking at very international curricula. I went on to work for the International Primary Curriculum, and we were introducing the notion of an international dimension to state schools in England long before many state schools across Asia and the world adopted the International Primary Curriculum. And I think there was a zeitgeist and a focus then on internationalism. My reflection at the moment is we've had a little bit of a retreat from that in some ways. I think we're facing quite challenging times. And I think national agendas have taken precedence in some places. Countries are talking about food security, wanting to be independent. We've got neighbouring regional conflicts. And obviously we've got climate emergency, where one country's activities will have an effect on the neighbouring one. So internationally, I think we're stretched and we're challenged. But it doesn't mean for any reason that we should not be continuing to address that. So I think that seeing the world and seeing its challenges, but also seeing its opportunities, mean that students will need to look at quite different approaches to their learning. We need to bake into the curriculum all of those things so that students get a chance to not only look at sustainability, but maybe to look at more effectively regenerative solutions, and look at not just sustaining the planet, but how do we regenerate it using lots of indigenous practices. At the heart of all of this is community. And I think that what we really need in terms of upskilling our students is to consider, what is it that the community brings as part of this effort of international connectedness? And what is it that our students will need to learn to interact with their communities more holistically? So I think some of the skills we'd be talking about is skills of diplomacy, negotiation, skills of persuasiveness, agency, ethical reflection. All of those kind of things I think we need to help facilitate the teaching of in the curriculum and upskill our students. And then I think finally on this point, if you look at this more holistically, what we're really talking about is the need to help students see that the planet is a system and there are multiple systems within it. So that some of the skills I think that would be really relevant to Alice Smith and to many schools is understanding systems thinking, and how systems thinking will be a really important set of skills that we need to help teach children to understand the world, and to understand that when you make one change in one piece of a network, it will have intended and unintended consequences on somewhere else.
Yeah, I think it's a really important message that you've got there, because we do have the world of tomorrow in our classrooms, so to speak. So we've got to see it from that viewpoint. Now, what would you say are the top three tips that you would have for our educators as we move forward to living with our new purpose statement, which is to spark courageous exploration to inspire a better world?
I think it's a wonderful move away from vision and mission to purpose. And also, you know, I'm very aware that you don't have a set of values listed there either. And I think that's an incredibly brave move to make, because in many ways you may see that imposing values on people is not something that you necessarily should do. Having a purpose statement means all of those things. Values can come from within, values can come from students. So what are my three top tips? Well, my top tips are: continue to be courageous and bold and confident in what you do. Learn from others. In other words, be confident in learning from teacher to teacher, but also teachers learning from students and everybody learning from a wider online community. We lost a lot of things after COVID. We didn't continue to use blended approaches, but carrying on using those blended approaches to learning should be something that we hopefully will, we should retain, really. And I think the other aspect is to be continually questioning as what you're doing. Question the things that are coming through. I'm working currently in the primary school at Alice Smith, working on adding a third dimension to the curriculum around concept-based learning. This isn't changing the whole thing. This is actually saying, if you want students learning to endure, then adding conceptual understanding to the curriculum will be something that will support their journey through from primary to secondary. So I'd say think about approaches that are more inductive, that broaden and make learning expansive, than something that's narrow and shuts down and can be quite deductive. So that would be my three. I think I probably extended that to beyond three, but those are my sort of takeaways and things I'd want to really say to people to think about.
So that was be bold and courageous, learn from others, and keep it broad and keep questioning.
Thank you. That's a great way of summarising something that probably was a lot longer than that.
Thank you. It's been lovely speaking to you today, Teresa.
Stefan, I'm going to dive in for a second, dying to know how you feel you've changed in your mind just simply as a result of this conversation from some of the things that Teresa has said today.
I think that for me, the world of education is changing. It's changing rapidly, especially with the dimension of artificial intelligence in there. And I think that as a school, we've got to now react to some of those changes, and we've got to start to think ahead of what will be needed, and to really define for our students, or try to define, what a future world might actually look like and entail for them, and give them the core competences of what they need for a successful future. Yeah, that's really what I've got from the conversation today. It's been great.
And Teresa, Shaping Learning, you're the founding director. Tell me more about why you decided to create this.
I think after having a really fantastic career working for three different curriculum organisations, I've always seen curriculum and program development as a vehicle for future-oriented change, and for making sure that innovation is purposeful and not innovation for innovation's sake. So when I was wondering what's next, I thought, I think this would be a really fantastic thing to do, a really empowering thing to do, but also something that really, really motivates me. And 10 years later, I don't think I've really looked back. It's been the best thing to do, having had and done some really wonderful things before that. And I don't think I could have done this without those previous experiences.
No, I love that. I really love that. And Stefan, you said earlier that we have I think to use your words, we have the world of tomorrow in our classrooms. That's a heavy responsibility on people in education, surely.
Yeah, it is. It's not just about the educators, though. It's also about the parents and really everyone around in the school environment. We've even got professional services, and we all play our own parts, whether that's safeguarding, or whether that's teaching a specific aspect of a curriculum, or whether that's embedding a concept for the future for an individual or even for a group.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right. And Teresa, I'm just keeping an eye on time for both of you, actually. We're going to need to bring this episode to a close shortly. But Teresa, if anyone's heard anything here today and they wanted to find you online, where's the best place they should go?
You can find me on LinkedIn, or you can find me at my website, shapinglearning.com.
Shapinglearning.com. Okay, we'll put a link to both those in the show notes in that case. But in the meantime, Teresa Forbes, thank you for being here. And Stefan Roddick, thank you both for being here. It's been great talking to you both about the future of education. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode. We hope you can take something from this podcast to support your implementation of the Book of Dreams. Please feel free to share it and contact us if you have any questions or ideas related to it. And don't forget to tune in next time for the next episode. We'll see you then. Bye for now.